All right. Good morning, everyone. Good to be back out with you again this morning. I hope and pray you come here this morning wanting God to work and to move in your life, because I believe that that's what He's wanting to do with each and every one of us. I really and truly do. You know, I was thinking there as Mike was singing, you know, the greatest thing that anybody of us could ever happen to us is whenever we close our eyes in death and we can say it as well with our soul. I'm just here to tell you, I hope and pray that every one of you in here can say that. If that would happen today, I hope and pray that you're able to say that. Because if you're not, I'll tell you, today is the day of salvation. Amen. And truly, truly, God is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save no matter what you're going through. Bear with me on my voice this morning. It's been pretty much lost up there last Wednesday. And I've been battling it. But, you know, we'll get through according to what God has for us to do this morning. If you would, turn to Acts, the 27th chapter. Acts 27. I'm going to start with verse 21. I've changed some things up this morning. I come in, I had plans. You know how God changes plans. God can change plans, and I'm not going to fight Him over it. But I want to go with this here this morning. I've preached on this before, but Acts 27, 21 through 25. And when you get it, please stand in honor of God's Word, if you would, please. Acts 27, 21 through 25. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee." Now, I want to point out something. I'm not preaching just yet, so just wait there. But I want to point out something to you right there. I don't know what you're going through here this morning, and I believe that there is, but I can tell you this. What God has purposed in your life is greater than the storm that you're going through right now. God's got a purpose on your life. He had a purpose on Paul's life. And he was not going to be denied that purpose. And I'm here this morning to tell you that. Now let's finish up. Saying, "For the angel of the Lord stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I serve and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to thank you, Father. I want to thank you, Father, for your mercy. I want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to stand before you, Lord. Father, we praise you. We just give you all that that you so rightly deserve here this morning. I pray, Father, hearts would be opened. I pray, Father, that the word would go out the way that you would have it. And I pray, Father, that again, Lord, that the anointing would be upon me, Lord, this morning. And we will give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Amen. And amen. As I said, your purpose that God has laid upon your life is greater than the storm that you may be going through right now, no matter how big or how small it may be. Over in Romans 8, 37 and 39, it tells us this. "Nay, in all things are we more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a lesson for each and every one of us to learn here this morning. Can I tell you that again? I want you to understand that. I don't know what storm you're going through, and I don't know what storm you're going to go through. But I'm here to tell you, you have a purpose, and God is going to bring you through that storm, because on the other side of that storm, God has that purpose for you. No matter what it is, whatever the storm may be. Yeah, Paul had to go see Caesar. Paul had to go see Caesar and preach the gospel before Caesar. He had to do it. No matter what the storm was, the devil could have put five storms against him. Paul was going to get to go preach to Caesar. Because the word of God, because God had told him. If you drop down to Acts 27:29, as I read that here this morning, it said, "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast out four anchors. They cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." Wished for the day means they prayed for the day to come. The thing I want you to notice right here, the key to surviving any storm is to make sure that you're anchored all right. Amen? Better make sure where you're anchored. You better make sure how many of you would agree with me this morning that it's just a matter of time before you go through a storm. We've all been through them. If you haven't been through them, I'm not here to be a downer, but I'm just telling you, storms are coming in your life. They will be here. And some of you will even go through multiple storms in your life. I've done that. And I'm sure that some of you in here have. You'll be going through those storms. And it's how you're anchored will determine on how you survive the storms in your life. I'm just here to be blunt with you this morning. If your anchor's not very good, if you're not anchored in the right place, it will not hold. I remember a story that happened a few years ago. An NFL ball player and three of the guys he was with decided they were going to go out into the Gulf of Mexico and do some fishing. While they were out there, they seen a storm coming. And what they'd done, they threw an anchor over the side, but it was the wrong side of the boat. As the storm hit, the boat collapsed. It killed three of them. And one of them did survive by laying on top of the boat. But because the anchor wasn't right, I'm here to tell you, a friend has summarized it like it. It was just a mistake in anchoring. And when the storm was approaching the boat, it was a mistake in anchoring. I want to tell you this morning, this old preacher wants to let you know here this morning, don't make a mistake in what you're anchored in this morning. Don't make a mistake in what you put your trust in this morning. Because if you got your trust in something other than Jesus Christ, your trust is in the wrong place and your anchor will not hold. I'm here to tell you. It will not hold. Proper anchoring in the natural is bad. Improper anchoring in the natural is bad. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're anchored improperly in a spiritual thing, you're headed for doom and destruction one day in your life. That's why in Acts 27:29, they said to Paul, they instructed him to put down four anchors. And because he understood what the danger was. I'm going to get into here in a little bit what those four anchors to me mean. But I want to tell you this morning, make sure that you're anchored in the proper way. Make sure that the anchor is holding today. It's extremely important that you do that. You must have it in your life. You must be anchored in your life. You must be anchored in your faith, in your family. You must be anchored in your marriage. Because if it is not, all these things are subject to the storms of life. And without the proper anchor, they can and will be destroyed. I've seen it. Because if they're not, I'll tell you what, all these things can hit the rocks. And they can do it pretty fast. As I said earlier, we will all go through the storms. Every one of us will, and I believe the reason we go through the storms is to help us to grow spiritually. I believe there's a purpose. There was a purpose for Paul to go through those storms. There's a purpose for us to go through the storms that we face in our life. It is to help us to grow stronger. It is to help us to be stronger. Don't just go through the storm. Grow through the storm. Will you agree with me on that this morning? Let's just don't go through the storms when we go through them. And I know they're hard. I've been through them. But praise God, as you go through the storm, learn from what God is trying to show you. Learn from what God is trying to teach you. And let's grow from these storms. Don't just go through them for the sake of saying, well, I went through them. Because storms can make us stronger. They can make every one of us stronger. I don't know. I read about this. It's been a few years back, but the biosphere too. I don't know if you guys remember. Maybe some of you in here know what I'm talking about. It was out in Arizona. What they were doing, they had this 40-acre place, and they had some buildings on it. And in each one of these buildings, they would represent a different ecosystem in the United States. One of them, they even had an ocean in there, believe it or not. They had an artificial ocean. They had an artificial reef. And they had a desert in it. And they had all kinds of different things in it. And there was eight of them that lived in it for 2 years. And they grew crops and they grew trees. But you know what they come to find out? They didn't, in his systems, they didn't replicate the storms that would hit. So the trees would grow, and they noticed the trees that were just bending over. And as they bent over, eventually they broke off. And you know why that was? Because they didn't have the storms that would strengthen them and blow them back and forth and help them to grow stronger. I'm here to tell you this morning, the storms will help us to grow stronger in our faith, help us to grow closer to the Lord. That's why the storms come upon our lives. That's what they did. The purpose of the storm is to build our faith. It's to build our confidence. The purpose of the storm is to build our praise. Is to build our prayer life, to build our dependence on Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul instructed them to do three things. And I believe they are just as relevant to everybody in here this morning as you're going through storms. When you're going through the storm, the first thing he said was in Acts 27:17. And when they had taken up, they used help undergirding the ship. Underline undergirding the ship. Because you know what that means? That means bracing up the ship. That's what it means. And they said, when the captain and the crew would see a storm coming, let me tell you what they would do. This is awesome. One of the crew members would jump into the ocean. They would let down this big, heavy rope. He would swim under the boat, and they would take the rope and put it up to the other side. And they would do that all under that ship, all the way across it, whenever they see a storm coming, because they knew that they would upbrace the ship, and they could make the ship stronger. When the captain and crew seen that, they would add reinforcements. They would add reinforcement to the ship to make sure that it could weather the storm. And brothers, listen to me. I believe that is powerful instruction for you and me this morning. When you understand this, in 1 Peter 1:13, it tells us this. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That's what he's telling us to do. Especially as the storms approach and when we're in the middle of it, brace up your mind with the Word of God. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. The first thing we ought to do is that, casting down every imagination and every high thing which exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing it into captivity and every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to saturate our minds with Scripture like that. And Scripture like 1 Peter 2:24. Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Brothers and sisters, whenever we're facing the things in this life, Scripture should be what we go after. Scripture like Revelation 12:11, and Greg can tell you this one. They overcome him by what? By the blood of the Lamb and their testimonies. You are overcomers this morning. The storm, you've got a purpose. You do not have to worry about that. God will bring you through the storms. And they overcame him. Declare the truth of God's word in the midst of the storm. Declare it in the midst of the storm. Scripture like Job 8:7. And when I was reading this, this just hit me. Though thy beginning was small, yet the latter shall be greatly increased. You should be praising God here this morning. Though you start out small, though you start out in the midst of the storm, the latter part of it, you're going to grow, you're going to have increase, because God is going to strengthen you through it. Where you begin, where you seem unimportant. What in the beginning may seem unimportant. Believe you me, the end of it is what's going to be the important thing. When you're going through the storm, I know it's hard to embrace Scripture. I know it, but believe God's Word. Amen. Believe it. The sun will be shining on the other side of the storm. Can you say amen that this morning? Amen. The sun will be shining out there on the other side of that storm. Yes, will. Or undergird your mind with the Word. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Can I tell you something this morning? God's not just doing that to make, God's not putting these storms upon your life, letting these storms come upon your life just to make you, just to sit back and laugh at you and watch. He knows what the end can be for you. He knows it. Don't we need to hear that when we're going through the storms? Don't we need to hear that? If you brace up your mind with the Word of God, fear and worry, listen to this. Listen to me, brother. Fear and worry will take over if you don't do that. They will. Depression and disappointment will take over. Don't run from the church when the storm hits. Run to the church when the storm hits. I've said that a lot, but it is true. I've seen it go so many ways. Go that way. People get into the midst of the storm. They blame God. They blame everybody else. And they want to run from the church. There's no safer harbor than to be with God's people in the times of the storms. There's none. That's when you'll need the church family like never before. Brace up your mind with all the word that you can get into it. Brace it up. Another thing Paul said was in 27:25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. And you're thinking, how in the world when I'm going through a storm can I be of good cheer? Well, you know what that means? That means be courageous. That's what it means. That means be courageous. Underline that word, be of good cheer. Paul's telling them, don't lose your courage. Don't lose it. You're right in the middle of the storm. That's not the time to lose your courage. But being courageous in the midst of the storm, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. When you're in a storm, the enemy wants you to lose all hope. He wants you to lose every bit of hope that you have. Courageous. You know what courageous means? Not deterred by danger or pain. That's what Paul's trying to say. He said, don't get discouraged, but what's in the midst of this storm right now, don't do that. Don't do it. Hope must rule your heart. Can I tell you something this morning? This is important to understand. Do you know what the message of Christianity is? It is victory.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Remember that. If you don't remember nothing else out of this sermon, the message of Christianity should always be victory.
Amen.
Our Lord and Savior got victory.
Amen.
And because He got victory, we can have victory in the midst of the storms. Praise God. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Amen.
Christians, we have a spirit. We have victory. We don't have the spirit of fear. Not in the midst of the storms. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quiet you like men. Be courageous. Praise God. That's what He wants us to be, is courageous. We do not have a message of depression and despair. I have never read in that Bible where Jesus said we had a message of depression and despair. Have you ever read it in there? Everything Jesus said was a message of victory. And that's what we Christians have. We have a message of victory for this world, for those around us in the midst of the storm. We don't have a message of oh, woe is me. We don't have that message. It's not in there. Paul told the crew, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Sean, I believe God's word. I believe it. And if it's telling me it's a message of victory, it's a message of victory. I can be courageous. Yeah, well, look at these people. You know, they had cancer and God's taking them out of there. They got the victory. They got the victory, the total victory. And if we don't have victory that way, we're going to have victory here on this earth. When you're in a storm, can I ask you something? What captain do you want at the helm? And you're in the midst of the storm, what captain do you want at the helm? Do you want me? You don't want me. You don't want nobody else in this church. When I'm in the storm, I want the captain. I want Jesus Christ at the helm of my ship. I want Him in the ship with me. I want Him in there. Matthew 8. We all know the story. And when He was entered into the ships, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the water, with the waves. And He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and woke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith to them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and seas obey Him? Greg, I want Him in the ship.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I want Him in there with me. When this storm's hit, and it's so rough, and it's so bad, and it seems like I cannot find and see the daylight, I want Jesus in the boat.
Amen.
I want him there with me. I want him there. The old song says he's the master of the sea. May I add, he's the master of the storm. Amen. He's the master of the storm. Whether you're not, you know, whether or not, I don't know what you're going through here today, but he is. We have a message that we can overcome this world. We have a message to tell. This is a message that the devil, the gates of hell, the fallen angels, and all the demons can't stop it. Do you understand that? My Bible tells me that not even the gates of hell can stand against him. Amen. We have a message of victory. We can be courageous. We have a sure anchor of the soul. It says it over in Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. When you get anchored to him, you're on solid rock. Amen. So as Paul told the crew, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Right in the middle of the storm. Please. He said, please get this deep. I want to tell you something this morning. Get this deep within your spirit this morning. God's not leading you to defeat. Get that in your soul this morning. Get that in your spirit this morning. God is a God of victory, a message of victory. He's not leading you to defeat one day. You're going home to be with him one day. God's not leading us to devastation. He's not doing that. He's leading us to safety on the other side of the storm. One way or another, we are getting on the other side of that storm, and there will be victory. So don't you quit. Not even if the wind's blowing and howling. Even if the sails are torn, don't you quit. Even if everyone else around you has bailed ship, don't you quit. Because you have the message of victory. Even like Peter. You know what? Old Peter was sinking. You know, he started out. He had that faith. He was sinking. You know what? He reached up his hand. Guess who grabbed it right there? It was Jesus. He lifted him up. I'm here to tell you, you're in the midst of the storm and you're reaching out. I'm telling you, there's one that will reach down and grab you and take you through the storm. And being seemingly tossed with a tempest the next day, they lightened the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Can I tell you something? Paul told him another thing to do was lighten the ship. You know? What was going on? That ship had stopped at different ports and it took on different things. Well, the ship was down, was weighted down pretty good. Well, if they didn't start lightening the load, the ship was going to sink. In our lives, we pick up a lot of stuff in our lives. Amen? We pick up a lot of things. And sometimes when we're in the midst of the storm, Sarah, God wants us to lighten the load. He wants us to get some of that stuff out of there. It's time. It's time to get some of that junk out of our lives. And the storm started to rage, and they had to get rid of the extra cargo. And sometimes when the storm raged, we have to too. You know what? We need to get rid of stuff that really don't matter. It's amazing to me. How that whenever the rubber meets the road, whenever we're in the midst of the storm, maybe it's a health situation or something else, there's a lot of stuff that don't matter anymore. Amen. That mattered a bunch to us before the storm. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't matter anymore once we get into the midst of that storm. So when life storms hit, we start throwing things out of our lives, or we should start throwing things out of there that aren't important. Amen? We throw out the baggage of unforgiveness. Sometimes people hold on to that for a while. But whenever in the midst of the storm, we figure out, you know what? That unforgiveness and that bitterness, that right there, that stuff right there doesn't mean a thing now. I'm in the midst of the storm. We throw out the baggage of self-centeredness sometimes. We throw out the baggage of complaining. We throw out the baggage of jealousy. Christians, when in the midst of the storm, we just need the essentials. And the essentials of Jesus Christ. That's the essentials that we need. We don't need a whole lot of anything else. We don't need anything else except Jesus in our lives when we're in the midst of the storms. Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When the storm hits, the enemy will come after you in so many different ways, it isn't funny. But remember, what I've told you this morning. Lighten the load. Get that stuff out of there. It doesn't need to be in there anyway, but sometimes in a storm, throw off everything that's weighing you down. What good would it have been for them to have all those goods in that ship and that ship be sitting on the bottom of the sea? It's no good for nobody. Can I tell you something this morning? Hanging on to all that baggage in your life when you're going through the storm, it's just weighing you down. And it ain't going to do you no good. It's not going to do you a bit of good if you're sitting at the bottom of the sea and everything's going bad in your life. Get rid of it. And if you're a hold of the right anchor, can I tell you this? You're going to go through the storm. Brace up, cheer up, and lighten up. Amen. Amen. That's what we need to do. We need to brace it up, brace up our mind. We need to have courage. And we need to lighten up some things sometimes that are weighing us down. When people are not anchored properly, it can cost them a lot. I mean, how many of you here know who Max Lucado is? Max Lucado wrote a lot of books, and I've read some of his stuff. But anyway, Max Lucado, whenever he was in college, this was back in the 70s, he was going to college, and he stayed in a houseboat on the Miami River is where he stayed when he was going to college, him and three other guys. That's what they did. Now, then they went to college. He said that Hurricane David had hit, I think it was like 1979, was coming in. So they decided on their own that they were going to try to shore up this boat. So they took and tied it to the pier. There are some trees back there. They took some cables and tied it back there and tried to secure that boat to where they wouldn't lose their house. An old sea captain come by and told him, he said, that's not how to do it. They said, well, how do you do it? He said, you take that ship out to the deep part out there, and you throw out four anchors. He said, you run them deep. And he said, because that tree will be gone when the storm hits, that dock will be gone when the storm hits, but he said, that boat will be out there in the middle, and he said, what you do, you throw those anchors out, then you pray. And he said, then you pray. I'm going to tell you something here this morning. You got to let the anchors go deep. And they got to go deep with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Story goes that the boat lasted. The boat was saved because they did what they were told to do. I'm telling you, brothers, you know what? You need to make sure you go deep with Jesus Christ. You need to make sure that the anchors go deep. What a profound message for everyone here this morning. Hitch your life to a deep anchor. That anchor is Jesus Christ this morning. Hitch it there. He talked about four anchors, and I want to get into that a little bit, what I think about that. One of those anchors is perseverance. Can I say that this morning? God can use anybody except a quitter. Amen? If you're going to quit, God can use anybody except a quitter. And I'm here to tell you this morning, James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Another anchor that I believe that you could associate with these was the anchor of courage. Again, I want to go over that again. In Joshua, four times over in Joshua, God told him, he said, to be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because if we're holding on to that anchor, we will stand tall when the storms hit. Amen? Amen? We will stand tall when the storms hit. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm just here to tell you, if God is for us, there's no one that can be against us. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Herefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Be ye unmovable. You know, praise God, that's what courage is about. When you're in the storm, it's to be steadfast in the storm and to be unmovable, saying, I serve a living God. I serve a God that I can trust and that I put my hope in, and He will not lead me wrong. Courage is the ability to finish a race even when you're in last place. Amen? Amen. Courage is standing up for what is right even when folks get mad at you about it. Courage is forgiving someone who has done you all kind of wrong. Courage is refusing to let sickness steal your witness. Courage is saying, I will not quit. I am not a quitter. I am not going to stand by and let the devil have victory in this, because I've got a message of victory. Courage is not absent of fear. That's not what I'm saying. But listen to me. But doing what needs to be done despite the fear that's in your life. That's what courage is. We water it down a lot nowadays, but brother said that's what courage really is. Courage is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying my favorite scripture whenever they said, you know what, we answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire or furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king. And this is what I like. This is courage. That we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. God, brothers and sisters, preachers, teachers, and people going to church today need that kind of courage nowadays. They need it. They need it. How about the anchor of worship? You know, over in Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the river, thou shalt not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Brothers, we should be able to shout and worship God for everything that he's got. If nothing else, just for that scripture right there. When we worship God for who he is, not for what he has done. And he has done immense things. I worship God this morning for who he is. The God of all creation, the God of the universe, the one that created all this. That's what I worship God for this morning. We can't just worship God on feelings or how we feel some days. If we do that all the time, when we're only going to worship him when we feel good, my goodness, there's time arthritis that just takes over people's body. They would never worship God. There's times that other things happen, and they would never worship God if you went on feeling. Let me give you a little bit of the thing. Whenever you're in the midst of a storm next time, try this. Try worshiping him for God being God. Try that. And see, the most powerful thing we can do in a storm is to worship God. It's to let him know that you know what he is and who he is, not just what he's done. Listen to this preacher. Well, that's one, brother and sister. Please raise your hands towards heaven and open your mouth and praise him. And then that's when the breakthroughs can come through. That's when the breakthroughs will come through sometimes in our life. The last anchor is a Bible teaching, Bible believing, Holy Spirit filled church. You need to anchor yourself to. Amen? 1 Timothy 3:14-16 says this, these things I write unto thee, hoping to become unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillars and the ground of the truth, and without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God has manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world and received up into glory. Praise God. This, get yourself anchored to a church that preaches the Word of God and believes the Word of God and believes the Holy Spirit can move and believes people's souls can be saved and believe that he's still in the healing business today. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Cast out four anchors of the stern, and pray for the day. Wish for the day. Cast them out and give all praise and pray to the God that hears. You agree with me this morning on that? I praise God this morning. Thank him. Thank him. As they come and get a song this morning, as they come and get that,